Now, if you've just joined us this week and you haven't been here before, we've been going through passages in the book of Exodus. And the book of Exodus is a book which tells us how God released the nation of Israel out of bondage. They were down there in bondage in Egypt. They were making bricks for Pharaoh. They were slaves. And God miraculously raised up Moses. And as you read the book of Exodus, you find that Moses led God's people through the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was destroyed. Having gone through the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel break out into song. They break out into praise because God had delivered them. No more hard labor. No more making bricks. No more sound of the whips. They were free under the hand of the living God. And as we went through last week in Exodus chapter 15, we saw that their praising soon turned into complaining. They wanted water out there in the desert. And they eventually came to a place of bitter waters. And in Exodus 15 verse 24, the Bible says, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" There's a lesson for us. If there is a time in our life where we find some difficulties, do we pray or do we complain? They complained, and all they had to do was pray. I mean, after all, God had provided freedom for them in this most marvelous miracle that they had ever seen. The Red Sea opens up and they go through on dry land, and Pharaoh's armies are defeated. God provided a rescue plan out of Egypt, and God could provide water in the desert, but they complained. Well, as we went through last week, we saw how the Lord provided water for them. They came to a place of bitter waters called Marah, and there the Lord did a miracle. Exodus 15, verse 25. This is Moses praying. "So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet." They come to a place of bitter waters. They knew that they couldn't drink it. And God did another miracle. And those bitter waters were made drinkable. I want to ask, are you in a bitter trial now? Are you going through bitter waters? Then do what Moses did. Pray about the situation. And our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he can make bitter waters sweet. Marah was a place of distrust. It was a place of distress. It was a place of disappointment. But it was a place of divine provision. God provided for an ungrateful people. Now, when you come to Exodus chapter 16, we find the people complaining again. Look at verse 2. "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, 'Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" It seems soon here, as the Israelites are on their journey, they complain again. They want food. And instead of praying about it, they complain about it. Well, how did God respond to the undeserving nation? Well, he responded with grace. With grace and with mercy. Look at verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no.'" So what God did was he provided a miraculous food, and we call that miraculous food manna. Manna from heaven God provided. The survival of the nation depended on God. Instead of complaining, they should have been praying. When they came to a situation of no water, all they had to do was ask God. When they came to a situation where there was no food, all they had to do was just ask God. We can learn from them. We should be people of prayer. The Israelites needed to know that their survival depended on God. And what God was going to do was he was going to teach them every single day for 40 years to rely on him for their daily provision. Every single day they had to rely on the Lord God. It's a pity Australia can't learn from the Israelites. Every person that is fed a meal today, ultimately, that meal comes from God. Well, now the average Aussie will say, no, it comes from Woolies. No, it doesn't. Does Woolies make the seed? Does Woolies make the rain? Does Woolies make the sunshine? I used to be a minister in Gunnedah, in a country town about 5 hours from here. I was there yesterday. But we got to see how dry the country was out there. And when I was a minister at Gunnedah, our church was on a prominent street. It was on a corner, and it was a great spot to put a church sign. So I organised with the church that we get this sign put up, and I used that sign during AgQuip. Gunnedah has this AgQuip, which is like an agricultural show, and if you want to buy a new tractor or a new harvester or a new mower or a new hay rake or something like that, you go to the field day, and 100,000 other people go to the field day, and you can pick out your tractor that you want and you can buy it there at AgQuip. And it goes for 3 days in Gunnedah. And I remember putting a sign up at AgQuip and it went something like this. I wanted to remind the people that were coming to AgQuip, the 100,000 people that were coming to Gunnedah, I wanted to remind them that God was their provider. And my sign went something like this. He makes the raindrops for the grain crops. So that when they drive past, they could look at that and they could see the church and they could be reminded that God makes the raindrops for the grain crops. There would be no AgQuip without God. There would be no agriculture without God. There would be no food on the table if it were not for God. And what God wanted to do in the nation of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness, he wanted to remind them that every day he was their provider. And God is the provider for the unjust and the just. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, this is the Lord Jesus talking in Matthew 5, verse 45. He, referring to God, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It is God who is our ultimate provider. If you've got a job, if you're employed, it is God that has given you that job. If you get a wage, it is God that has given you that wage. If you get a pension, you need to be grateful because it's God that has given you that pension. You need to be grateful. There are other people working so you can have the pension. You need to be grateful. But ultimately, it all comes back to God because God gives us the gifts and the abilities and the talents to work for him. He makes the raindrops for the grain crops. He is the one that provides all our needs. In Exodus chapter 16, when Moses interceded for them, God provided for them. Look at verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So we see there in Exodus chapter 16, God provided quail for them on that day in the evening. And he provided manna in the morning every single day for 40 years. Not only did God give them his provisions, He also gave them his instructions. Israel had to live by the promises of God, and you and I, every single day, need to live by the promises of God. We're a bit like the children of Israel. We're going through a wilderness today, and if you think about Australia, it's getting more and more like a wilderness. It's getting harder and harder. But we're like them. We're like pilgrims passing through this land to our final promised land, which will be heaven. When Peter wrote to the early church, they were going into great difficulties. The early church was being persecuted in Peter's time. And Peter said this in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." We're a chosen generation. If you're a person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, God has his hand upon your life. But we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims passing through this wilderness until one day we get to glory. But we, like the people of Israel, we need to be just like them, because ultimately they had to rely on the promises and the provision of their Heavenly Father. Verse 21. "So they gathered it," this is talking about the manna, "so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted." I think it's worth getting a couple of principles from it here. The Israelites, I believe, had to get up in the morning. They had to grab the manna before it heated. I remember travelling through Israel and Egypt, and there's a place in Egypt that they claim is Mount Sinai. And in order to climb Mount Sinai, I think we got up at about 3:30 in the morning. The camel riders got their camels ready to go. I didn't ride the camel, I walked. We climbed Mount Sinai, but we had to climb early in the morning. Why? The desert gets very hot. "So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted." What's the principle? The principle, I believe, is if you want to be an effective Christian, you need to be gathering manna in the morning. What do I mean? You stand out on your driveway and you wait for the little droplets to come down and you gather the manna for your breakfast instead of your cereal? No, that's not what I mean. You need to gather the heavenly food that God is willing to provide you every single morning, and that is the Word of God. There was no place for a lazy person. If you wanted to eat, you were expected to get up and get out of your tent and work to gather just enough manna to feed you for that day. Now, I believe there is a principle here that there would have been those that wouldn't have been able to gather manna. Look at verse 16. "Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." So a little child may not have been able to gather manna, but the parents could gather manna for that child. An injured person may not have been able to gather that manna, but the person could go out and he could gather enough for those in his own household, in his own tent, and make sure that they were fed from the bread of heaven. Great principle. In our households, are we feeding the people in our households the Word of God? Are we feeding people the Word of God that perhaps cannot get to church? Are we encouraging those people? Are we going and ringing them up and feeding them, giving them encouragement from the Lord? Are we feeding those that are disabled? Are we feeding our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, the Word of God? Are we getting up in the morning ourselves? If we are able, are we getting up in the morning ourselves, and are we taking from the bread of heaven that's freely offered to us in Australia? How many Bibles you got in your house? I'm not sure how many I've got. But we live in a land that is abundantly provided with the Word of God? Are you seeking the Lord in the morning? It's a biblical principle. If I get back to the material food, you know, it's a biblical principle that we work for our food. And I believe it's a biblical principle that we work for our spiritual food also. Think about the perfect world that Adam and Eve lived in. Did God just say, you know, you can have it all? What did God do? He put them in the garden to tend the garden. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In Adam's perfect state and Eve's perfect state, they had work to do. God provided their food, but they had to work in the garden. It's a biblical principle. If you are able to work, you need to work for physical food. I'm not talking about people that are retired or people that can't get employment. But if you are able to work, it's a biblical principle that we are to work for the food that we get. The Israelites had to trust God that he would provide for them every day, but God didn't put it in their sleeping bags, the food. He didn't put it in their tents. It was out on the ground, and they had to get up in the morning, get out of the tent, and go and get their manna. It's a biblical principle. Every single day, some 2 million people had to depend on God for their daily needs. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You trust God to supply your need? Are you thankful that God has put you in the nation of Australia where we have an abundance of food? Are you thankful for your daily bread, your daily breakfast? Are you thankful for the ability to get out of your tent in the morning and to go to work? And are you thankful for the job that God has given you or the pension that God has given you? Are you thankful that you have the Word of God in your home? You have multiple Bibles? Are you thankful that you can get out of bed every single day and you have the ability to study the Word of God, which is the manna from heaven? Do you do it? I believe the best time personally to study the Word of God is early in the morning. They got the manna early in the morning. Early in the morning, they had to get up. They had to rely on the Lord, on his promises and his provision, and they had to do that every single day for 40 years. No eskies, storing up the manna overnight. No backpacks, no big silos. We went for a hike early this year up the Blue Mountains, and we took some lilos and we were going to walk down into this canyon. It's called canyoning. Judy loves it. She's a real adventurous type. And we were going to go canyoning down the mountains, and you get on these lilos and you get in a creek and you just go where the creek takes you for miles and miles. And we spent probably about 4 hours down in this canyon. And we were walking down to get down into the canyon, and there were some other people that were coming. And we had our backpacks. We were pretty light. You have to take some light backpacks because you've got to swim with your lilos. But as we're going, there was these guys that had this big esky, a huge esky. They're going down into canyons where you've got to crawl, you've got to lift your lilo up, you've got to go down and up and down, and they're carrying, and they had the music blaring. So in the middle of this beautiful bush, they've got the music blaring, and they're carrying this huge esky, and they get down to the river where we start off, and we never saw them again. They'd stored up all this food for their journey, and it was absolutely ridiculous. The nation of Israel couldn't take an esky. What they had to do, they had to collect the manna in the morning, and the manna in the morning had to supply them the whole day. They couldn't keep it overnight because God was teaching them that they must trust him every day, that God was going to provide the next day and the next day and the next day. God would provide every day for them, with one exception. They were able to store up manna for the Sabbath day because they were not to get manna on the Sabbath day. God wanted his people to have a day of rest so they could store up on the day before enough for the Sabbath day to last them. There's a biblical principle there. We also need to have a day of rest. And we also need that God will provide for us when we stop working on that day of rest, that God will provide for our needs on that day. The people of Israel had to trust the Lord for 40 years. Every morning, they had to trust that God was going to provide for them. There's a man in Christian history that I often quote, and his name is George Mueller. And I encourage you to read the story of George Mueller, because George Mueller was a man that started children's homes in Bristol in England. And George Mueller was known as a man of faith. He developed these children's homes and he had thousands of children passed through his homes in his lifetime. And the story goes that George Mueller, the man of faith, even if he did not have food for the morning, he would sit down and he would pray and he would give thanks for the food that they were about to receive. And miraculously, there'd be a knock on the door of the orphanage and someone would bring them food. Now, that didn't happen every single day. But George Mueller, a man of faith, trusted God just day by day for the provision of those orphans. He died in 1898 at the age of 92. One writer wrote this about George Mueller. He spent most of his life in Bristol, England, and pastored the same church there for over 66 years. He built 5 large orphan houses and cared for 10,024 orphans in his life. He had read his Bible from end to end almost 200 times. Where did he get his manna from heaven? He got his manna from heaven from the Word of God. He had prayed in millions of dollars in today's currency for the orphans and never asked anyone directly for money. He never took a salary in the last 68 years of his ministry, but trusted God to put in people's hearts to send him what he needed. He never took out a loan or went into debt, and neither he nor the orphans were ever hungry. George Mueller was asked what was the secret of his victorious life, and George said this: "It was the day that I died, utterly died. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to approval or blame, even of my brethren and friends. Since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God." How did he live such a miraculous life? How did he provide for over 10,000 orphans? Day by day, dependence on God's words. Do we have the same God as the people of Israel, who provided for them every day of those 40 years? Do we have the same God as George Mueller, who could say grace when there was no food in the cupboard and yet expect that his heavenly Father would provide for his orphans? Do we have the same God? Absolutely. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord Jesus said this: "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they?" Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." We need to learn from the Israelites in their wilderness journey. We need to trust that God is our provider and protector. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." God was David's provider. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And when he taught them the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." He taught his disciples to pray for his daily provision. There's a lot of things that we can learn from the children of Israel. And Moses said, verse 19, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. There were some people that did not listen to Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Can I ask you, this week, will you attempt to get your manna in the morning? Will you say, "Lord, give me the ability to have that devotional time early in the morning"? If you look at Mark's gospel about the Lord Jesus, Mark 1:35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." That's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ getting up early in the morning. God, who is present in the flesh of a man, gets up early in the morning to be with his heavenly Father. John 8 verse 1, Jesus went under the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Here was some people that got up early in the morning. Why did they get up early in the morning? Because God, who came in human flesh, was their teacher early in the morning in the temple, and they wanted to hear him. You want to hear God early in the morning? Open up his word. The psalmist said in Psalm 5 verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." There was manna for everyone that wanted it. I was thinking, what should I call my sermon today? And I thought, maybe I'd call it this: there's manna for Nana. There's manna for Nana. There's manna for Grandpa. There's manna for young and old. There's manna in the morning if we take the time to meet with God. How does a Christian cope in the wilderness of this world? We have God's word. We have his heavenly manna to meet our needs. How can a Christian be victorious in suffering? We have manna from heaven, the promises of God. When you're suffering, read Romans 8 verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." How does a Christian cope when they lose their job? We've got manna from heaven. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." How is a Christian victorious when they're under attack? We have manna from heaven. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" How can a Christian cope when they're falsely accused? We've got manna from heaven. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." How can a Christian cope when they're given the news by the doctors that they're going to die? We've got manna from heaven. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we cope in the wilderness? We cope simply by trusting in the promises and the provision of the God that loves us. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Let me just close with this. The children of Israel ate manna every day for 40 years. The manna could only sustain them physically. It helped them spiritually. It helped them spiritually because they could believe, they could see that God kept his promises. But the manna that they received did not give them eternal life. But there was a day where a person appeared on the scene that said he was the bread from heaven. And that person was the Lord Jesus. Like the nation of Israel, he went into the water before he went into the wilderness. Jesus was baptized in the water before he went into the wilderness. The Israelites went through the Red Sea before they went into the wilderness. Like the nation of Israel, he was tested in the wilderness. They often failed in their tests, but Jesus never failed. He came out of the wilderness in victory. And that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, said this in John 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus gives himself. He is the manna from heaven. He is God in the flesh who died on the cross for all our sins. They ate manna in the wilderness, but they still died. If you trust Jesus Christ as a manna from heaven, as a bread of life, you will live for all eternity. There's manna for Nana. There's manna for the young and old. And the manna that enables us to live forever is Jesus Christ. Have you trusted him as your Saviour? I hope you have. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much that as we view the life of the Israelites, we can see our own journey through the wilderness of this world. Help us, Lord, to trust you day by day for our protection, for our provision, and help us to rely on your promises. Let us come to the manna from heaven, the word of God, every morning. Help us to do this and receive divine provision. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hold me with thy powerful hand. Pray. still my strength and shield, strength and shield.